The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
Ain't a lie, for ain't a love. A lie, a lie, a lie, a love, a love, a love. Ain't a lie, for ain't a love. A lie, a lie, a lie, a love.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today, one of the best. During this half hour of the show, we're going to be interviewing artist Shoshana Brambacher, who's a Jewish artist specialist. And in the studio, we'll have Chana Finman, the arts and cultural representative of the Jewish Hour, as well, participating. The portion of the week is the portion of Tzav, which is in Leviticus chapter 6 and following. But we're going to talk about Purim, which is this Wednesday night. Yes! We have wonderful music for you, an eclectic assortment, an awesome Hasidic story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Three terrorists were shot and killed in two separate incidences outside the Patriarch's Cave in Hebron. In each case, terrorists tried to run their car into a crowd of Jewish people. IDF soldiers responded by shooting the terrorists. A Hamas delegation asked Egypt to stop destroying its tunnels. These are the smuggling tunnels leading out from Gaza into Sinai. That seems to me to be like the ultimate chutzpah. We have these things where we're smuggling things back and forth, and we want you to just leave them alone. Egypt responded that it would consider the request, but only if Hamas cuts ties with the Muslim Brotherhood. But technically, Hamas is the Muslim Brotherhood in Gaza. Egypt's flooding of Hamas tunnels caused the death of over two dozen Palestinians so far. Kenny Rahlin, who was arrested last week, we reported on this on the show, for stabbing two people in Prospect Park and Leiby Brickman in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, will not be charged for a hate crime. Rahlin is currently undergoing psychiatric evaluation. An Israeli woman hiking in the Galilee discovered an extremely rare, nearly 2,000-year-old gold coin, only the second such coin ever to be discovered. The coin, dating back to the year 107, bears the image of the Roman Emperor Augustus. That's quite a find. Despite an elevated risk of terrorist attacks, a record-setting 30,000 people from 62 countries arrived at the starting line of this week's Jerusalem Marathon held this last Friday. Tadesse Yai Dabi of Ethiopia won the race, completing the route in 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 20 seconds. That's moving. Yisrael Kristol, a 112-year-old Holocaust survivor and Israeli citizen, is the world's oldest living man. Kristol survived Auschwitz and the Lodz Ghetto. And finally, Arizona became the 15th state to bar state and local governments from doing business with companies that boycott Israel. Similar bills are pending in 6 more states, including Michigan. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Why go anywhere else when you go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Hey, Shul Finman, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We are online with Jewish artist Shoshana Brombacher. This is very exciting. And in studio is Chana Finman. How are you, Chana?
I am, thank God, Baruch Hashem, fine this morning.
Good to hear. And Shoshana, how are you?
Baruch Hashem. Many greetings from Brooklyn.
Thank you so much. It's a real honor to have you. So the work of Shoshana Brombacher has actually been flying across my desktop, and it seems very cutting edge on the scope of things. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where you were born in Holland. We call that the Netherlands over here. So tell us about yourself.
Well, yeah, that's true. I'm originally from Amsterdam, from a post-Holocaust surviving family. My parents survived the Holocaust in Holland, and I got a secular upbringing. But when I was in high school, I was looking for my roots, obviously. I was in a non-Jewish high school, and I discovered Hasidic stories in my father's study, and that became a lifelong love affair. I just love those Hasidic stories. So I became a Baal Teshuva, and I went to Leiden University to study Judaic studies and pursued an academic career. And that brought me to Berlin, to the Free University, where I was teaching Judaic studies. This was during the First Gulf War, and I had to investigate some manuscripts that were kept here in New York. So I came to New York during Purim.
Let me interrupt you. You were coming to New York to view manuscripts that they found in Iraq that had to do with
It had nothing to do with it. It was 17th century, actually, Dutch manuscripts that were kept in the library here in New York.
Gotcha. Now.
Yeah, it just happened to be the Gulf War. Quite honestly, I was a bit fed up in Berlin because there was a very anti-Israel thing going on. Was also overworked because the Jewish workers in our Judaic Institute were asked to speak all the time on behalf of Israel, which we did. I just needed a little break. So I came to New York, and people kept asking me, like, well, why are you not married? I said, yeah, well, I do my best, but, you know, you can't force it. So they wanted to introduce me to some people that didn't work out. And then I happened by coincidence to meet my husband-to-be, although I didn't know it yet. And that's how I ended up a year later from Berlin to New York.
And you've been here ever since. That would be like 1992. You've been living in New York.
I wanted to pursue an academic career here as well. But then children were born, and my son was born deaf, so he needed extra care. And since I was painting my whole life, my mom said, when you were two, you hold a pencil, and since then you didn't put it down. I painted more and more, and there was even a rabbi here in New York who gave me space in his shul, was a little Lower East Side shul, to work as a studio. And I never gave up the painting anymore, so now I am an artist.
Mm-hmm. In your studies in Amsterdam and in university, where you majored in medieval Judaic poetry. That's a very eclectic type of a thing.
Well, yeah, it's the story how I studied Judaic studies is also special. I loved Greek and Latin in high school. I went to one of those academic European high schools where they put a lot of stress on antique culture. And my teacher said, don't get ideas, don't study it, because you won't earn even your dry bread. So I listened to him, and then my father said, look, you're about to shuva, you come back to our roots. Why don't you study Judaic studies? So my poor teacher nearly got a heart attack when I said it. He said, that's even worse. It's the best choice I made in my life, and it deepened my Yiddishkeit. It gave me the academic background to illustrate the Hasidic stories, which I love so much, and a lot more, of course, than only Hasidic stories. And in retrospect, it was a very good thing.
Shoshana, I wanted to mention that if people listening would like to see some images of your work, the fastest way to get it would be to Google your name. For our listeners right now, Shoshana is spelled S-H-O-S-H-A-N-A, just like it sounds, Shoshana.
N-N-A-H.
Pardon?
S-H-O-S-H-A-N-N-A-H.
Yeah, that's better. Brombacher, B-R-O-M-M-A-C-H-E-R, correct?
Yes.
Yes, and you could, the fastest way is to Google, and it'll take you straight to Shoshana's website, and then you can see some of these images, which I think is important to see the works that Shoshana has created. They, you know, I traipse around a lot in Europe and the United States, going to museums, openings, all kinds of shows, beautiful places, the Barnes in Philadelphia, you know, and fantastic places in New York City, the Neue Gallery, and so on and so forth. And I really believe that Shoshana's work is the is museum quality work that will have long lasting effects. Shoshana, if you could describe some of the projects that you've been working on in the last year. I've been following you. I'm a fan, and I'm very amazed at how international your work is.
Well, it's internationally recognized. People have contacted me, not in the last year, but before, for museums. For instance, the Jewish Museum in Moscow wanted to have some of my images for educational purposes. It has been used in films. I have had exhibitions in two continents, actually three, Israel, Europe, and of course in New York, where I live, in America. One of the projects I have been working on specifically in the last year is a pictorial about the play of Anski, the Debuch, the Yiddish play.
Yeah.
That is something that fascinated me for a long time. I saw it for the first time when I was still in college in Holland. And on and off, I started making drawings. And how it goes, then I decided at one point, like, now it's enough, there's a drawing here and a drawing there. I'm going to make it a real project. So I sat down, I illustrated the whole play of the Debuch, made an academic introduction explaining how, what, when, where. And if people want to see that, that's now on Amazon.com as an ebook. But I'm talking to a publisher and it will be a paper book.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm looking at your work. I'm very much reminded of the works of Marc Chagall. Was there an influence by Chagall on your work, Shoshana?
Oh, yes, absolutely. My parents had a lot of Chagall books in the house, and I grew up with them because I discovered already quickly that the illustrations of Chagall were actually much nicer than the children's books I had. So I was always looking at art books, and my good dear parents put them on purpose on a low shelf in their bookcase.
So they could get to them. Let's back up a little bit. Chagall did some things which were called Jewish art, like the windows and the Hadassah and stuff, but he did a lot of stuff which would not be. And there were other famous Jewish artists throughout the millennia. What would you say, Shoshana Brombacher, how would you define Jewish art?
That's an interesting question, and I've given several lectures about it. Jewish art for me, although I must say three Jews, 10 opinions, four is not enough. Jewish art is a Jewish theme made by a Jewish artist with a Jewish audience in mind. For instance, Rembrandt, a great Dutch painter, 17th century, made a lot of Old Testamentic paintings, and his models were his neighbors who lived in the Jewish neighborhood in Amsterdam, where he lived. But I still wouldn't call that Jewish art. And then you have the Jewish painter, several Jewish painters like Modigliani from Paris. They're Jewish in all aspects, but their subjects are so non-Jewish that you wouldn't know they're Jewish if you didn't know. That's also not Jewish art. Now, Chagall is definitely a Jewish artist, even though not every subject he painted is per se Jewish. Interesting thing is that he makes, for instance, Christian themes. So you would wonder, what is a nice Jewish boy doing painting a crucifixion? I think, although I don't know that, of course, that he was fascinated by what he saw around him in France. And he somehow tried to connect it to the Jewish faith, persecutions, etc. Whether you can agree with that, I personally don't. I mean, that's up to people who look at his art. But the majority of his work has to do with his Jewish background from Eastern Europe. That's Jewish art.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Y'all, when I look at your work, Shoshana, I see these fragments of parts of a story, kind of like a prism. And I also, when I look at your work, I think of stained glass windows because of that, like compartmentalized stories. And there's also, when I look at your work, these beautiful colors, it also reminds me of stained glass, but I'm also thinking there's a magical quality. And I always wondered if there was something, when I look at Chagall, there's sort of floating people and there's sort of a magic quality to it. With Hasidic stories, I wouldn't call it magic, but I would call it something spiritual happening in a Hasidic story. And you're able to capture that in your work. So I think it's taking something of the Chagall fragments, but imbuing it with a spirituality. That's where I think your work finds its success for the viewer, especially someone who is bringing their own history, their Jewishness to, you know, the viewing. Is that your intent? What is your intent when you're creating a work that has Jewish content, which I believe is a very unique Jewish content?
Well, it's first and foremost, it's what lives in my soul. Mm. One time I was doing illustrations for Chabad.org, and I said, your problem is, we want Pesach art before Pesach, but you usually make your best works after Pesach. And I explained to them, like most people, I'm influenced by what I do, read, see, and experience. I experience the Jewish holidays in a very intense way. Also reading stories. If I read a Hasidic story, I see it happen in front of me. Mm-hmm. And then people ask me, like, well, you're not Eastern European. I'm from a Western European family. I'm not Hasidic. You could call me Neo-Hasidic, but I'm definitely not from a long line of Hasidim. I have never even been in Russia, although I've been in Eastern Europe. What I want to do with that is transfer what's in my soul on canvas with brushes and colors, and I see those stories in very vivid living colors. Mm. And that brings me to the following. Many people, especially in America, ask me, do you make Holocaust art? Mm. And the answer is rarely. I mean, a few pieces, but not really. What I really want to do is bring our beautiful, long, rich, colorful, deep spiritual heritage to people and not just death and doom.
That's, yeah. And I think that this quality of light and life, I definitely feel when I'm looking at a work. And I'd like to say Shoshana Brombacher, for our viewers to Google and see some of these images. I'm delighted that the Dybbuk book is going to eventually one day be a book we can purchase, being that I love to hold a book in my hands rather than looking at the screen. But some people are, you know, the e-books is the new way. But I love to hold a book in my hand, and especially on Shabbos. Sometimes we have to, you know, read and learn and study as Jews. But there's something about a pictorial image that can sum up a whole story or a whole feeling or even a relationship between the Jewish community and a Rebbe of a leader. And a pictorial image sometimes can say so much at one long, pondering glance. Yeah? Is there a work you're working on now, Shpola Zeda story, does that resonate in a special way with you, this particular story you could elaborate on?
Well, the story behind that is that I was contacted at one point by writing a book about him, but from a genetic point of view, DNA and this and that. They said, but the Shpola Zeda, of course, is first and foremost interesting for people because of his life and his stories. Would you be willing to cooperate with us and do something with the stories and especially illustrate them? So I found that an extremely interesting question, started reading myself into it. And then I came upon one story that he is conducting a trial with Hashem, the Spoiler Zeide. Because he said the Jews in Eastern Europe, they serve Hashem, some better, some not so good. But in any case, as a community, they do their best. They keep Yontif, they keep Shabbos, they keep kosher. They do all kinds of things. And now we have a huge famine. And that means that Hashem does not keep his part of the contract, the covenant, to take care of the Jews. That's what the Spoiler Zeide said. So I am going to ask Hashem to come to my Beis Din. At that time, that was, of course, unheard of. Still, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And suing God, yes, it's a little bit strange.
Yeah, suing Hashem. And that was a very special Beis Din. There's not 3, but 10 rabbis. Everybody came, of course. And he said to Hashem, like, look, you don't keep your side of the contract. We have to ask you to do that. Otherwise, it's bad. And the outcome was that after that trial was over, ships with grain arrived in Ukraine, where the Spoiler Zeide lived, and the famine for them was over. Now, how do you make such a painting? I was a bit in awe, and I thought, what did I get myself into? How do you do this?
Let me interrupt. Are there known extant pictures of the Spoiler Zeide? Do we know what he looked like?
Yeah, you can look that up, by the way. There is an article about it on academia.edu, and then just Google my name, then it comes up. So I somehow managed to do that, but that was one of the biggest challenges in my artistic career.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that interested me even more in the Spoiler Zeide, because there are also lovely and cute and funny stories. Actually, I'm working at this moment on a Purim story, and I hope I get it up on time on Facebook and otherwise after Shabbos.
Oh, that's what I'm very excited about. And especially about the Purim story. You know, during this month, Adar, we're in the second month of the Jewish month of Adar, it coincides with, we've had a month to celebrating women. Well, we have 2 months, not just 1 month, of celebrating women, Jewish women, because of the Book of Esther that we're going to be reading on Wednesday and again on Thursday. And I'm just so delighted, Shoshana, that you're, remarkable artist, bringing so much content into the paintings that you do, into works. You're a real treasure. We're just so happy you were able to, on a busy time for women, to bring your insights into our show. And I also just, again, Google up Shoshana Brombacher, and folks, take a look at these images. They're so lovely. And thank you again for gracing the airwaves. Herschel, do you have any more questions for Dr. Brombacher?
I just have one final question, Shoshana, for you. And that is, when you're painting and you're developing this, your whole scene over there, what would you like the viewer of your art to walk away with?
What I want him to know, I basically see painting as an exchange between the story, then the painter of the story, that's me in this case, and the viewer. And what I would like to do is that they're touched in their heart to spintele yid and just take home something, some Yiddishkeit.
Spintele yid, that spark.
Yeah, that's why I painted for myself, quite honestly. I want to inspire myself with my paintings, and I hope that other people also get somehow inspired. If they see a Shabbos scene, that they see the love for Shabbos, the beauty of Shabbos, and not the hassle like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. No, it's beautiful. It's lichtig, it's light.
That's wonderful. We're out of time for this segment of the show. Shoshana Brombacher, we want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about your art and your philosophy of art, and we wish you continued success.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Stop paying more than your fair share of property tax now. I'm Stephen Poulter, attorney at law and president of Express Property Tax Appeals. Right now, your commercial property tax assessments are in the mail. Like many commercial property owners, you're probably paying unnecessary and exorbitant property taxes, potentially costing you hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. Express Property Tax Appeals can help. I recently reduced one of my clients' property tax values by $2 million, realizing $250,000 in real tax dollar savings. I can do the same for you. If you're a commercial property owner, manager, or broker and are tired of paying more than your fair share of property tax, call Express Property Tax Appeals now at 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. That's 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. You have nothing to lose except your looming property tax burden. I'm Stephen Poulter with Express Property Tax Appeals, and I look forward to saving you money on your property taxes.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood. Herschel Finman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. This is up next. This is a brand new, brand spanking new. What does the word spanking new mean? Maybe because when a baby is born, you spank it. Maybe that's where it comes from. I don't know. I'd have to go do a Google search. But this one's hot off the press. It's not even dry yet, which is kind of strange because it's a digital song. But this is Benny Friedman, Blue Melody, Lecha Amar Libi. To you, I say my heart. Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com.
That's MI for Michigan, KO for kosher, and SUP for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Schultonman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We received a challenge this week on the rabbifinman.com. Someone sent us a letter through contact us at www.rabbifinman.com. One by the name of Sarah, who lives in West Bloomfield, wanted to hear some Yiddish wedding music. So, the group is called Tachlit, which means like the all get out or the purpose or the ultimate. And this is just called a wedding medley. And Sarah, this is for you. Thanks for calling us. Someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Fundman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This is a brand new song, and it was recorded for this year in honor of Purim. Finally, I complained last week that there was no new Purim songs out. And actually, I learned with a person who is a musician, and he's in the process of composing a video, music video for next year, and it's entitled "How Come You Can't Make an Original Purim Song?" That's what the video is all about, and without having it be a parody of something else. But this is not a parody. This is actually, the singer is Lev Aryeh. The song is Shoshanas Yaakov. Shoshanas Yaakov is, I wouldn't exactly say it's a prayer, but maybe a declaration, which is read after the reading of the Megillah. All the congregation says this song. This song, people sing it. There's various different tunes. I know about maybe a half a dozen different tunes. So instead of me talking about it, let's just listen to Lev Aryeh.
Shoshanas Yaakov tzolo v'somecho, b'roisom yachad achiles mordechoi. Shoshanas Yaakov tzolo v'somecho, b'roisom yachad achiles mordechoi. Tzu oso hoiso lo netzal, v'sikva oso mikro davado. Tzu oso hoiso lo netzal, v'sikva oso.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Wednesday night is Purim. Just I have to mention again, since we do this, the portion of the week is the portion of Tzav. It continues with the sacrifices that were performed in the sanctuary in Jerusalem, and etc. And if you want to read about it, I strongly suggest you do. We're talking about Leviticus chapter 6 and further, and take a look over there. We're going to talk about Purim. Purim is Wednesday night. This coming Wednesday night starts Wednesday night at sundown. No, Wednesday night at Tzeisa Kerchavim, at dusk is when it starts. Usually holidays start at sundown, but when Purim being a rabbinic holiday, so they didn't prohibit work from being done like on the other holidays, which are Torah injunctions. So it starts when it's dark, which is the earliest that you can actually read the Megillah that night, which in Detroit is 8:16 p.m. Thank you, President Bush, for bringing daylight savings time earlier to our land. So there are mitzvahs which are incumbent upon us to fulfill, to hear the Megillah read at night on Wednesday night. And for those who are thinking, well, where should I go? Well, it just so happens that the Jewish Hour and Jewish Ferndale are teaming up at Embrew in Ferndale. That's at 177 Vester Street. So one block north of 9 Mile and about 400 yards, even less, 400 yards east of Woodward. It's a popular gathering place, a watering hole in Ferndale. So we've reserved the game room in the downstairs level, and it'll be a real happening time. It'll be like refreshments, and they have a zillion pinball machines and other video games and all kinds of stuff like that. And we'll have live music sponsored by Freddie W. Estuaries is the name of his band. We'll be playing eclectic Hasidic rock music. And it'll be a real hoot. That's at 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock officially. After 10 o'clock, we don't have the space exclusively, but if you want to stick around, you can stick around until the place closes, which I think is at 2 a.m., and have a real hoot of a time. Yes, indeedy. During the day on Thursday, we must hear the Megillah again, and we have to have a very large meal. It's supposed to be the best meal that you have a whole year. You should have on Purim. We also, to facilitate that, so there are people who can't afford to have good meals, so the extending of charity is an intrinsic part of the holiday. To, at minimum, you have to give at least one gift of charity. Now, a gift of charity means what would be the equivalent of a hundredth of an ounce of silver, which at this point would be about 80 cents, would be the minimum. But there's no maximum to the number of people that you can give. And actually, it says, if somebody asks you for charity next Thursday, you must give them. It doesn't say how much you have to give them, but you must give them. And because we want to increase happiness and joy among other people, so we send gifts of food to our friends and neighbors so as to increase the joy. Let's talk about this idea. So what's the deal with Purim? So that it's all written and counted in the book of Esther. In fact, the Megillah that we read is called Megillat Esther, Megillas Esther, the story of the book of Esther. We read it from cover to cover, actually from one end of the scroll to the other. You might say we do the ganze Megillah, which means the whole thing in Yiddish. And it's interesting. The story talks about the antagonist, Haman, wanting to wipe out the Jewish people just for no other reasons other than the fact that he hated Jews. He was an anti-Semite. And the Jewish people faced the worst decree of annihilation, that in one day every single Jew was going to be killed through some major work on the part of Mordechai, the protagonist of the story, and Esther, the heroine. We talked about that last week. You can go to RabbiFinman.com and listen to our interview with Sara LeBronstein, still up there, to find out the inside skinny on Esther. Haman gets defeated, he gets killed, all the anti-Semites get wiped out. And how do we celebrate? We eat. Now, this is actually the subject of a joke that I know for a couple decades. This is the base, bottom line of all Jewish holidays. Someone tried to kill us, we overcame them, let's eat. But let's analyze this gastro-Judaic phenomena of why have a big party when to celebrate the fact that we survived annihilation. It's a very simple thing. Eating, it doesn't get any more physical than eating. Cows eat. Grasshoppers eat. Amoeba eat. Every living creature eats. There's nothing more basic than eating and breathing. That's it. And we can't celebrate breathing too well. We're going to have this breathing fest. No, that's not going to go over. So we have this eating business going on. The celebration as such, you might say, is the exact antithesis to the way that the book of Esther opens up. The book of Esther opens up that the king, Ahasuerus, known as Xerxes in Persian and Greek, is having a party, and the party lasts for 180 days, and he's celebrating the defeat of the Jewish God. There was a prophecy, 70 years, the Jews were going to go back to Israel and rebuild the temple, and he figured out the 70 years, and they didn't do it, and so he figured that the prophecy was wrong, and so he made a big party, I beat the Jewish God, and made this massive party. Okay, so we did beat him. And so, to counter-effect his massive meal, we're not going to celebrate for 180 days. I personally would get tired really fast of a party that was 180 days long. But we have this one-day thing, this celebration commemorating our physical salvation. And whereas Ahasuerus was eating to celebrate his defeat of God, God forbid, we're celebrating God's victory. So it's not us that we're celebrating. We're celebrating God. And we do it when we're doing it. It says we're supposed to be as festive, as happy as can be. Because it says nothing can hold back a person who's happy. The expression in Hebrew is simcha poritz geder. Joy breaks through all boundaries. What we're trying to do on Purim is to achieve a level where all of our limitations are just broken through and we can relate to God on a way that God appreciates. Not that I appreciate. I appreciate God because I know God is the creator. I'm breathing every day. But I'm not appreciating the creator for the creator. I'm appreciating the creator because he created me. Purim, we're supposed to celebrate God. And it's quite an interesting thing. Like this year, for example, it's a leap year, and this month is actually doubled. And we could have done this holiday a month ago, but we do it the second month, the doubled month, because this is the one which is close to Passover. The idea of Passover is that we go out of our limitations. So this is the setup for that. Speaking of setting up, we've got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Hasidic Story next.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Like Sarah in West Bloomfield did, www.rabbifinman.com. Is your organization having a thing? Want to publicize free on the air? No problem. rabbifinman.com. Want to hear something Jewish content on the radio? No problem. rabbifinman.com. Got a question about Judaism? Want to make a comment about how you thought about the show? No problem. rabbifinman.com. And I answer all mail personally. What else will you find at rabbifinman.com? Well, you'll find archived editions of the show. You'll find the E-Parsha, the U-Parsha, the Hasidic U-Story, classes, all ways in which I hope to present Judaism in an educational and entertaining way, and the very important donations page. Yes, it is March. We are on air now 20 years. We're celebrating 20 years. This is our membership drive. Send in a donation of $36 and more, and you will receive a CD from the Jewish Hour Archives. We sent out a lot, so much so, I'm happy to say that we paid for February. What's today? It's February, March 20th? Yes, we finally paid for February. Now we're working on March. If we get this big push now, hopefully we can pay for March before April, which is 2 weeks from now. So go to the computer, go to rabbifinman.com, click on the donations page. It's all safe, secure. Through PayPal, if you have a PayPal account, it takes 30 seconds. If you don't have a PayPal account, it'll take you 3 minutes, but you can always do it so it's a reoccurring. So if you want to do it like on a regular basis, you just hit reoccur, and it happens until your credit card expires or until you cancel it. Don't like doing credit cards over the internet? I understand. Send your donation in any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Do it today. Ensure that The Jewish Hour, now 20 years on air, will continue into the next millennia and beyond, to infinity and beyond, yes. The story, the year, 1920, Purim time, which would put us around now, March 1920. The place, Rostov, Russia. Rostov is a southern or northern suburb of Moscow, located many, many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms. The Bolsheviks had taken over and were slowly taking over every single inch of Russia, 7 time zones worth. And they were approaching the city of Rostov sometime around Purim in their bloody takeover of the world. It was scary. It was very scary. Such that the Lubavitcher Rebbe at that time, the Rashab, sequestered himself away from everybody. There was a yeshiva there, but he didn't come out of his room. He spent his time doing what Rebbes are wont to do in times of duress. But it was Purim time, and 2 of the yeshiva students said, "You're supposed to be happy." So they knocked on the Rebbe's door, which he couldn't do that today. And they went in and said, "Rebbe, it's Purim." And so the Rebbe Rashab reached into a drawer and gave him some mashke, gave him some money, and said, "Go buy vodka and accoutrements, things to eat. There will be a gathering on Purim." So the rabbis started, they had this whole big gathering, and suddenly one of the local beggars ran into the shul. "The Bolsheviks are here, they're here, they're here." Okay, and they heard this banging on the door, and everybody's like, the Rashab said, "Let him in." And they let him in, and the rabbi started just talking Hasidic about Purim. And the 2 Bolsheviks who were there, these big burly Russians with guns drawn, were amazed at this scene, and they walked out. And they came, some time went by, the Fabringen went well into the night, and they heard a banging at the door again. And someone looked out the window and said, "There's a whole garrison of soldiers." The Rebbe said, "Let them in." And then when they came in, they started singing a very deep, melodious Hasidic song, totally and completely oblivious of this marauding band of soldiers. The soldiers just stood there dumbfounded. And then the Rebbe went into what would prove to be the last Hasidic discourse of his life, which began with a verse from the prophet Ezekiel, that the head of all nations is a malach, and its end will be utter destruction, because Haman was a descendant of a malach. And those people who hate Jews simply because they're Jews, they're also a malach. And in the end, who's going to be vanquished? It's not going to be the Jews. And he said this discourse that went for close to 45 minutes. The soldiers walked out. Everybody recognized that this was a double miracle, that the Jews of Rostov had been saved from the marauding forces. But it took its toll on the Rebbe, because a week later, the Rebbe Shab got sick, and he passed away on Beis Nissen, just a mere 2 weeks and change after that Purim. That's going to do it for you, for us. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have an awesome Purim. Remember, hear the Megillah twice. Give gifts of food to your friends. Gifts of charity to a friend. And have a great meal. And we'll see you back again next week. Take care.
Will you forgive me? Oh, Lord, how long will you hide your face from me?